Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here again with you.
Oh, yeah.
On a Sunday evening.
Another Sunday after the resurrection.
Amen. Back in the studio.
Woo! Back in the studio.
We failed to mention.
On the way to Pentecost, yeah. Which will be coming up. When is Pentecost this year?
May 20th.
Oh, we got a ways yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, we should probably do two or three Pentecost shows.
Yeah. We failed to mention last week that we were remote.
Yes.
I know.
Wow, we were in what city were we in? Cortland?
I think it was Warren.
Warren?
No, it was a church at Warren.
Or was it the church at Warren? But I think it's in Cortland.
I think it's in Cortland.
Is it Youngstown?
No, it's too far south.
But we want to thank Pastor Dave for letting us record a show there.
Yeah.
We were there as part of a, I don't know, kind of little conference he was doing. And since we were down there in the Southern Kingdom, we thought we might as well just do a show from here.
Yeah.
And
all the remote facilities we have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're like hip on all the electronic stuff. Now that I got all the spyware out of my computer. But
see what happens with Youngstown.
And we failed to mention that. And we even told Pastor Dave we would put in a plug for him.
So there it is.
if you ever want to meet a really awesome guy, Pastor Dave, the church at Warren, but it's not in Warren.
It's in Cortland.
It's in Cortland. Yeah. But an awesome guy who loves Israel. He goes there like two or three times a year.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And he's a big fan of Gift of Grace Ministries. Yeah. He's one of our three fans. So we're happy to have him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so those of you listening on 1440, some people are probably listening on 1440.
That's true.
And they both can go meet Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the resurrection, so we're in the resurrection season yet,
yeah,
which is always good. And
it's always resurrection season, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about one of the appearances of Jesus, Yeshua, after the resurrection to a bunch of his friends, and he even cooked some breakfast, which is kind of nice. And I don't think we had coffee yet, but... Had some toast and some fish.
Toast and
which
fish.
I guess was okay.
Was this by the Sea of Galilee?
It was.
They could have just got some water out of the sea.
And, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it is, Paul's talking to people. There's apparently some people that doubt that there really was a resurrection. And he tells them that the Lord appeared to Cephas, who is Peter, and then he appeared to 500 at once, and then he appeared to James, and you know, appeared to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. So this was Paul talking about the importance of the resurrection. This was a certain event that really happened because there were lots of witnesses that saw him, and we're going to read from John 21, which I'm sure is going to turn into two shows because this chapter really has like two parts.
Yeah.
Now that the shows are shorter.
Yeah, three or four shows.
So, Stephen, maybe you should start reading at least through the fish breakfast. Oh. Maybe just before that. So
I love the fish breakfast.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we also will come with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered him, no. So he said to them, cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something. So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of his disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead.
Yeah, let's stop there. That's a nice scene, you know. Mm-hmm. So it says Jesus showed himself. We were just looking at a King James version. It says Jesus shooed himself, S-H-E-W-E-D. But I like showed better.
Shoo, get away, shoo.
So here it's interesting because the Sea of Galilee is called the Sea of Tiberias, which is the only place in the scripture that that's used. And Tiberius, of course, was the Roman emperor at the time. And
wanted to name a sea after himself.
The guy who was the ruler there, Philip the Tetrarch, decided to rename the Sea of Galilee the Sea of Tiberius and built the city, little town of Tiberius, so you could get brownie points with the emperor.
There you go.
So this is the only place in the scripture it's used. And the other thing that's interesting here is before this, he had only appeared on Sundays. He had only appeared on the Lord's Day. Now, this seems to be like a regular day, although it doesn't tell us. It probably wasn't Saturday because they went fishing. And at this point, they still wouldn't have gone fishing on the Sabbath.
Right.
So here Jesus shows himself to these guys who, you know, at the beginning, it sounds like Peter doesn't know what to do with himself. So he says, "I'm going fishing." And the other guys said, "We'll go with you. What the heck? We're tired of watching TV. There's nothing else to do." And this was their work, you know, so they were used to doing this. So they're kind of in a community. They're still in the community they were in before, even now this is, you know, some time after the resurrection. So, and they're doing an ordinary thing like going fishing. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to be, and this time Thomas is there. You know, Thomas was, I think it specifically says Thomas was there.
Called Didymus, yeah.
Yeah, because before that, you know, the one time they were always sending him out to get the pizza or the Chinese, and so he kept missing stuff. Like, so, but this time he was actually there. And so all of them could be the witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty neat because Jesus comes back to these men that he was with for 3 years to show them that, number one, he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Number two, he still cares about what they're doing. Number three is he's helping them out at this point, even by making them breakfast, let alone in big things.
Yeah. You know, and it says together, you know, they were all there, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, Zebedee's sons and two other disciples. And you're right. I mean, they were fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's after the resurrection. They don't really understand yet what has taken place fully. They don't know what is going to happen with them. They don't know what the whole plan is.
Yeah.
So Peter, you know, Simon Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And they go out by themselves. And it's interesting. It's they're there all night and they catch nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Not even like a little minnow.
Not even a minnow. Not even, you know, empty nets. I mean, it's they have empty nets and they have caught nothing. So Jesus appears to them standing on the shore. But again, it's almost like on the road to Emmaus where the disciples are walking. They encounter the Lord, but they don't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they don't catch anything. They, you know, Jesus is on the shore, but they don't recognize him.
Uh-huh.
They don't see that it's him.
Yeah.
He's in their sight, but he's hidden from them some way and somehow.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And he calls them children.
Yes.
Now they're grown men. You know,
this is the first time he's called them children.
Yeah.
He calls them brothers. He calls them friends. This is the first time he calls them children.
Yeah. So he asked him a simple question. Have you caught anything to eat? Nope.
Nope.
Nada. So he tells them to cast a net over the right side of the boat and you're going to find something there. And the catch is so large that not one person by themselves can pull it in.
Yeah.
They got to go and get help.
Yeah.
And other people that are there, they weren't that far from the shore. They come out and help them pull in this catch.
Yes.
And a pretty big catch at that, 153 fish. Yeah. That's a huge catch of fish. And
these are big fish. These aren't little fish. They're not little goldfish.
Was that all the fish that were in the Sea of Tiberias that day? Did they have to restock it or replenish it? No, but it's a large number of fish. And, you know, it's an example of that with God's help. He's going to give you the ability to do things that you can't do yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's really by his power and by his grace that, you know, people are going to come and receive the good news of the gospel.
Good point. I was thinking about that with, even though they're working hard, I mean, they're industrious at what they do, but they failed.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't. Using their own methods, their own powers, they didn't catch a single fish.
Right.
So this is used for God to show his glory, for Jesus to show his glory because, oh, you didn't catch anything? Well, put your net over there. And it kind of harkens back to Luke chapter 5, you know, put out into the deep, whereas this is early in Jesus's ministry. So what we're talking about today is after the resurrection. But in the Luke 5 story, he's preaching on the beach. These guys are cleaning their nets because they've been out all night, haven't caught anything. And he says, oh, why don't you go put out into the deep and lower your nets? And they go, hey, listen, you know, you're a good preacher and I heard you're a good carpenter, but we're the fishermen here. But all right, if you want us to do it.
We'll do it.
And then they get so many fish, they have to call their friends and their partners to come and help them. So this is kind of a parallel story. And I'm sure that when they say, oh, it's the Lord, John says, oh, it's the Lord. Their minds probably flashed back. They didn't know it is Luke chapter 5, but their minds probably flashed back to that other episode from probably 2 to 3 years before this one. And John says, you know, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
And Jesus gets there. I mean, he's there at a time when they're kind of disappointed because they've been out all night, they haven't caught anything. He's standing on the beach. You know, we get into situations like that where we're dejected, things aren't working out, we've been doing the work, we've been doing all the stuff, and a lot of times, you know, we just try to do it under our own power. But he's standing at the beach, on the beach, and he's the resurrected, powerful Jesus,
right,
who now intervenes in their situation to say, well, you guys, you know, really tried to do this, but put your net over there, and he does this to show that he's there. He's still providing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, he calls them children.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tender kind of a question. Well, children, did you catch anything? Or, hey, children, do you want something to eat? Or, I mean, it's really kind of it's an example of the provision that we all get.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize yet the concept that they were sons of God.
Right.
And this is pre-Pentecost and everything, and pre any scripture, any New Testament being written down. But here they're kind of getting the idea. He calls them children.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in a different situation than they were in before.
Yeah, because really, they are children of God because they are now adopted sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ because he died and rose from the dead. But as you look back on, as you said in Luke chapter 5, you know, we talked about this last week as well, is that Jesus meets them back in Galilee where he first met them, where he first called them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's maybe three years later here, and they're experiencing the same thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Now from a post-resurrection experience.
Yeah.
He called us when we were there in Galilee. Now we're coming out to Galilee and we see him resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he told us to put out the nets into the deep. couple years ago.
And it really worked
and we got a big catch, and that was really good.
Yeah.
We did it again, and it's a big catch
thing.
Again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as you're saying, they're laboring under their own power. Mm-hmm. You know, and we all do that. We all labor sometimes under our own abilities.
Yes.
And do we really, you know, the question is, do I really turn to God and say, Lord, help me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just show me,
mm-hmm.
you know, help me to do it. And it's, you know, in that Luke passage, they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
They've been out all night mm-hmm. laboring. They're exhausted. And a lot of times we labor, we get exhausted, and we fail to ask the Lord for help. Mm-hmm. And then we finally go, okay, Lord, I just give up. Whatever you want to do here,
yeah,
or
yeah.
can you help me here?
Yeah. And then he'll use you.
Then he goes, oh, that's what I was waiting for. Was your permission?
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because this is really one of the main points of this, because he knows they didn't catch anything. He doesn't say to himself, gee, I wonder if they caught anything. Gee, I hope those guys got something. Boy, they've been out. They look like they've been. I wonder if they caught anything.
Yeah.
He knows they didn't catch anything.
He knows.
But he asks them the question anyway,
mm-hmm.
because he wants them to tell him.
Yeah.
You know, he wants us to tell him
yeah.
what's bothering us, what our problems are, what our needs are. And like you said, you know, it's okay to go to him and say, you know, Lord, I've been working on this for a long time and nothing's been accomplished. And
yeah.
I just give up. You know, you're just going to need to do it.
Do you ask them those things, like when you're composing, like your concertos and stuff?
Yes,
you ask them that, like,
exactly.
Lord, I just don't have a passage
like,
here.
Yes, like which minor chord to use next.
But yeah. you're right. He does. He asked them the question, just like he asked the disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of things have happened?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he wants to engage in that conversation yeah. with us.
People, you know, you probably have had this experience, but I hear it all the time. People say to me, well, God knows everything that's going to happen, so what's the difference if we pray or not?
He
wants you to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to hear it from you. Did you catch anything? No.
Yeah.
No, worked hard, didn't catch anything. Tell him your problems.
Yeah.
He knows your problems.
He knows it better than you know. He knows your problem better than you know it.
That's right.
And he knows the solution better than you know
right.
it.
That's right. And he knows, you know, and sometimes the problem is going to be worse tomorrow, and he knows that.
Yeah.
But he also knows what the solution to the problem is.
Yeah.
And he wants to hear from them that they worked hard, didn't accomplish anything. And it's exactly the same parallel from Luke chapter 5. So in both cases, he shows that not only is he willing to help, but he is the Lord of nature, you know, the fisher over there.
Right.
Put your net over there.
Yeah, he knows
and,
where they're
at. Yeah, he knows where the fish are. And it's really kind of a good lesson that their own labors had failed. He had told them before this that they were going to be fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't even catch a fish when they were on the sea.
Yeah,
and this and I said before, this is before Pentecost. After Pentecost, there's such a change in these guys that they really do become fishers of men.
Yeah,
and they're not worried about how many fish are in their net anymore. They're out preaching the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. In a few weeks, when we get to Pentecost, there'll be a big catch.
That'd be a huge yeah, catch.
A huge catch.
So yeah, 3,000 the first day.
Yeah. But it really is. It's, you know, God wants that conversation with us. He wants a relationship with us that's so intimate that we talk with him just like he talked with Moses.
Exactly.
And a lot of times we're like the disciples in the pages of scripture where it says, but nobody dared ask him a question.
That's right.
They knew it was him, but nobody dared to ask him a question.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want that type of relationship with us where we're afraid to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to talk with him
yes.
as a son, as a daughter.
Yes.
Not out of fear, but out of love.
Yes.
You know?
And there's people that either think prayer is completely ineffective and there's no point doing it, where there's people that say, well, God's not going to listen to me because he's God and I'm just a dope.
Well, I mean, people, you know, there's some people I've had conversation with and they're like, well, why are you praying for us? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not bad people. I'm like, well, I don't think you're on the brink of going to hell. I'm just asking God to bless you.
Yeah.
You know, provide, exactly. You know, give you good things. And, or just in, you know, in embrace you with his in all-encompassing love. But it's, you know, you get into that conversation and they'll say, well, God's going to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost presuming that God's going to take care of you no matter what. And God does provide for you even when you don't realize that he's there.
Yeah.
But that's not being appreciative of what God's done for you.
Exactly.
There's a big difference there.
Yes, certainly.
You know, and you're not recognizing what God's doing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, the God who created the universe and created everything that we see and the things that we don't see and all the amazing scientific stuff we learn about all the time, that same God wants to have a conversation with you once in a while.
Yeah.
He wants you to communicate with him.
It is amazing. I mean, isn't it? I mean, he created the DNA that is our very existence.
Yes, exactly.
Which is somewhat beyond beyond understanding. But then he wants the intimate details of your daily life.
Yeah.
So what did you do today?
Yeah, that's right.
How did things work out for you today?
You know, he can create a new galaxy right now if he wants to.
Yeah.
But yet he wants to know, like, what's bothering you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me of Psalm 8 that says, you know, who is man that you are mindful of him?
Yeah.
Like, why should he even worry about us?
Yeah.
With all the other things that there are.
Yeah. Mortal man that you care for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of fascinating. And this is the relationship he's showing here with the risen, glorified Christ. And John recognizes him first, which I think is kind of cute,
because
he was kind of like the youngest one. He was closest to him. Then he tells Peter, and then Peter, of course, you got to love Peter, just like jumps in the water.
He had a tuck in his garments.
He doesn't say, let's just get the boat over to the shore. He just jumps in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, I got to hide myself.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, he wants to look a little more presentable.
A little more presentable. I tried this walking on the water thing one time, and it didn't work out too well.
Yeah. And he's got that kind of, you know, zeal.
Yeah.
It's always showing itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes toward him, you know, just like when he walked on the water, except this time he's walking in the water.
And, you know, this is a really good example, though. Like, Simon Peter says, I'm going to go fishing.
Yeah.
He's going. Now, he walked with Jesus for 3 years, saw his crucifixion.
Yeah.
He's risen now, so they witnessed the resurrection. But yet he's going back to what he did before.
Yes.
And whenever we encounter Christ, and you can attest to this as well, whenever you encounter Christ, you can't go back to the person you were before.
No.
Because it's saying that that's not important.
Yeah.
If you encounter Jesus Christ and you go back to who you were before you met him and encountered him, you can do it if you wanted to, because God gives you free will.
Yeah.
But it's a very, you know,
and you'd be uncomfortable while you do it too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be right.
But Jesus is gonna transform our lives.
Yes.
Because now I'm an adopted son of the risen Christ.
Yes.
I'm an adopted daughter of the risen Christ,
yes,
of God. And I am no longer just, you know, I'm just not the person I was before.
Right.
I am now an heir to the throne.
Right.
An heir to the King.
Right.
And he wants to give me everything
that
he has in store for me or in plans for me.
You're co-heirs with Christ.
You're co-heirs. You have to take off the old self and allow Christ to put on your new self, the new image of who you are. And it's not about who I was before with what my ethnic background was or any of those things. It's about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and being a disciple, an ambassador for Christ, and sharing in the anointing that came upon him in the Jordan.
Exactly. It's like Paul says, the old self has been crucified.
Yeah.
Now I'm a new creation.
Yeah.
And we have to, I mean, we forget that sometimes, but when you try to be the old creation, it just doesn't seem right.
No, yeah.
I mean, if you meet, is that the music already?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we're going to have to do at least one more show. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that in your daily walk with the Lord, that you would reach out to Christ and talk with him and share what's on your heart so that he can provide for you and guide you every step of the way, and that you would know that he is Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.